Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Matt here. Hey, I wanted to introduce you to a guest today. We have a special guest preacher all the way from Florida. His name is Lance Ford. Lance is an author, a speaker. He's been in ministry in lots of various forms. And Lance and I met through some Foursquare stuff years ago and have remained connected ever since then. And I'm really excited to have Lance share God's word with us today. He has a very special message. It's for you. This is a message for you, for the body of Christ. And if you are here paying attention today, there is something that you need to hold on to from what Lance says. So, God, open up our ears and our minds to receive from you today. Okay, Lance, bring it.
Hi there, this is Lance Ford, and I am excited to be able to share the word of the Lord with you today. First off, I'm just going to ask you to get your mobile device ready, or if you have the old school analog Bible. We're going to look at a few passages this morning in our time together, and we're going to start out in the book of Ephesians. So if you would go ahead and pull up Ephesians, we'll start in chapter 3. I'm going to look at a couple of verses there. The book of Ephesians is the epistle to the church. Out of all of the New Testament, this book particularly is for the church. As a young Bible college student 38, 39 years ago, for some reason I fell in love with the book of Ephesians. It took me a while to know why, but it was because I loved the church. I felt called to the church as a pastor and a leader. And this book is particularly for the church. Now, one of the things that we always need to keep in mind, it was a letter. The folks didn't have Bibles back then. They would have a scroll, a common scroll that everyone could read from if they could read, or it'd be read to them. But these epistles from Paul and Peter, from the apostles, were letters. That's what epistle means. There's a letter. So they would have gathered together and they would have said, okay, let's hear what the apostle Paul has updated us with, or what he wants to convey to us. And it's written to the church. It's not written to just some leaders. It's written to the whole body, to the everyday Christian. And in fact, in Ephesians 3, verse 9, it says, he wants to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery of the kingdom, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So he says it's through the church, through the body of Christ, that he wants to convey, as he says, the manifold. I'm in the ESV version here. That would be the collective wisdom of God. He says it's going to come through the church, not just through church services, not through seminaries, not through organizations, but it's actually going to come through the folks, through the everyday people of God that make up the body of Christ. Now, we're going to jump down in chapter 4 here, and we're going to enter into what's commonly been called the fivefold ministry, these five gifts that Jesus pours out before his ascension. So here in verse 9, it says, now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill, or fulfill would be the term there, all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, so what Paul has said here is that Jesus, at his ascension, poured out these gifts for the church for the sake of the world. Because the church, once again, is a vehicle of the kingdom of heaven. It's not the kingdom of heaven, but it's a vehicle to convey the message and even the foretaste of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And in order to accomplish these things, the agenda of Jesus, we could say, he gives these gifts to help us accomplish it. And then Paul says these gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and shepherd, are given to make a mature body. So he uses this metaphor. Paul uses this metaphor several times of a body. He calls it the body of Christ because it's the walking around, living, breathing, everyday Jesus manifest in the flesh. How? Through us, through the church, and through the collective body. And he says the key to being a mature church, the key to being a mature body and being strong and not being tossed around by every wind of doctrine, he says, is that the body activates these gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. So this is really key. These giftings are really key. And one of the things that we need to recognize is that this text, Ephesians 4, so often we've looked at it, and we said, well, that's a clergy text. That's a ministry text. It's not a ministry text. It's a body text. This text is written to the body. It's written to the folks. It's written to you. It's written to me. It's written to all of us. So Ephesians 4 is addressed and concerning and calling to all of us, not just the professional pastors and preachers and seminary leaders or denominational leaders. No, this is a text for the body, which is beautiful because what he's saying is that these gifts are spread throughout the body. And you just think about people in your life. If you were to just take right now 5 minutes and just close your eyes and just think about the people in the past, it could be a fifth grade teacher. It could be a sports coach that you had. It could be an elderly neighbor that lived in the neighborhood that you grew up in. I mean, it could be just any profession, any person that you think of, and you start thinking about the different gifts that they have, and you think, well, there's some people, they were very shepherdy. They were very caring. They were very loving. They're always nurturing. They're always making sure everything on our street went the way that it should, and they took care of people. Well, that's a person with a pastoral gift. You look at people that today that have marketing skill. That's an evangelistic gift. In fact, it's really interesting. In the early days of Apple Computer, one of the early guys on the team was a guy named Guy Kawasaki, and his title was evangelist, which I always thought that was amazing that Apple Computer, 30-something years ago, one of the first titles they ever gave someone was evangelist. What was he? He was the guy over marketing, but he's the guy that's going out proclaiming the good news of Apple Computers. So there are people that really have this gift. Most of your people that start new businesses, entrepreneurs, these are people with apostolic gifts. They know how to start things. They go somewhere and they start things. And then prophets are people, and just think about people. There's probably people in your church right now that you can think of saying, you know, this lady or that guy, they're always the one that's just, things are black or white. I mean, they're always just, they're calling things out. They're just, I mean, they're about things being right. They're about justice. These are the people that stand in the Ralph's line and go to the express line where it says 10 items, you know, 10 items or fewer. And they're counting the items in the baskets of the people in front of them to make sure they're not going over 10. What? They're about justice. Okay? That's a person with a prophetic gift, most likely. So these gifts are spread throughout the body, and they're not just consolidated for church. Okay? Which makes a lot of sense, because then we're spread out like the salt into the earth, into the neighborhoods, and into the communities. And these gifts get embedded, and they get activated in the name of the Lord. And so it makes us a stronger and a smarter body, and it also sends us out to do the work of the Lord. So we see this in Ephesians 4. He gives the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher to the body, the everyday folks. Now, let's look over in Isaiah chapter 61. And the reason that Isaiah chapter 61, we're going to get into 61, is so vital and so important is because this is the prophetic word that's coming up about the Messiah. And he speaks actually to Israel, who is the forerunner of the church. I mean, Paul says that we are one new man. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. God's intention all along was to create this one new man, the spiritual Israel, he calls it in Romans 9. So these chapters of Isaiah leading up to the verses that we're about to read, there's some robust language in here that is about the church and about the beauty of the church and what the church is going to do. Isaiah 58 is just a beautiful one. Isaiah 58, 12 says, "Those among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets in which to dwell." I love that verse. Once again, that's Isaiah 58, 12. I love that verse in the Message translation, because Eugene Peterson put it there so well. He said, "You'll be the ones that will make the community livable again." So this is the call on the church, is for us not just to collect in once a week for a couple of hours, but no, it's for us to live out the ways and the means of the kingdom embedded into the places that we live and work and play and learn and hang out there in culture. We're to live out the ways of the kingdom. We're to be like, if you've ever gone to a Costco or a Sam's Club and walked around and seen these little sample tables where a person is offering samples of barbecue or this drink or this snack or whatever, and you taste it and go, that's good. Now, where can I get that? So that's what we're to be. We're to be these appetizers. And so we should be living in such a life, in such a way that the world says, man, I want some more of that. Let me taste that. So that's our call. So in Isaiah 60, and you're going to see where this ties back to Ephesians 4 that we opened up as we look at those five gifts. In Isaiah 61, this is the text that is called Jesus' inaugural address in Luke 4. And you'll recall that after all of his temptations out in the wilderness, Jesus comes out of the wilderness, comes out of the 40 days and 40 nights and the temptations, and he finds his way to the temple, and he's known as a young rabbi. And so he sits down, they bring the scrolls, he has them open the scrolls up to this place, to Isaiah 61, and he reads it. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting, so they'll be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So in Luke 4, he says that Jesus reads this, he rolls it up, and he looks at them all, and he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes." So he's saying, I'm the one. I'm the one this was written for. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He says, I am the me of this verse. And I've come to do these things. Now here's what's really interesting, because then you see, after Jesus leaves the temple, from that point on, then it's on. You start seeing a lot of action in the Gospels, because Jesus starts living the stuff. He starts healing people and casting demons out and performing miracles, rebuking the Pharisees constantly. He's speaking to the injustice that they bring. He's speaking to the oppression that they bring. But how's he planning on accomplishing this? Here's what's amazing, because we've looked at Ephesians 4, where we see that Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, we see that he pours these gifts out and he says, okay, church, go at it. Go at it. Now, I'm giving you these assets. I'm giving you these gifts and these tools to make this happen. Let's look back here at Isaiah 61, He said, the Lord has anointed me, verse 1, he says, to bring good news to the afflicted. Now, the good news here is gospel. Okay, this is the euangelion in the Greek. And so this is where we get the word evangelist. Okay, so we see Jesus is an evangelist. He says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The word sent there, as in Luke 4, is the word where we get apostle, which just means a sent one. So now we've already seen that Jesus is a good news bringer. He's the evangelist. He has sent me. He's an apostle. I mean, he's been sent from heaven, in fact, onto earth. He is the sent one. He is the apostle. He says to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. So he's coming to deliver spiritual captives. I mean, he is a deliverer. This is the prophetic gifting of Jesus. Jesus is coming in and dealing with oppression. You know, he's making crooked ways straight. He's making high places low. He's bringing up the low places and making things equitable and level. So Jesus is about justice. And so this is his prophetic gift at work here. He says to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Who's a comforter out of those fivefold gifts? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher, pastor, and teacher. The comforter is that's the pastor. So we see here, and Jesus is teaching, that's implied on the whole thing in Luke 4 when he opens this up. He said he's coming as a teacher. So we see all five of those gifts activated by Jesus in these verses. And so Jesus comes and says, it's through the fivefold gifting that I'm going to accomplish my work. Now, this should be a game changer for every one of us, because what's vital for us to recognize and what's vital for us to realize is that if we lay down these gifts, if we don't activate these gifts in our own lives, or if we don't stir these gifts up, because I was a pastor for well over 20 years, and over the last 16 years, I've really worked with churches and coaching pastors. I've worked with thousands of church planters. That's been my life. And one of the things that I realize in being in churches and talking with just everyday folks is that one of the maladies upon the body of Christ is most people do not realize how gifted they are. Most people do not recognize the calling upon their lives. They don't recognize the anointing on their lives. They don't recognize the wisdom that they have. And say, oh, I'm just a this, or I'm just a that. I'm just a florist, or I'm just a car salesman. I'm just a plumber. No, you are called of the Lord. That's your cover. I mean, that's just your cover of your calling. So you're sent out and embedded into culture. Your vocation may be one of those things. That may be the way that you make a living. But more important than that is that's the way the Lord has sent you. See, we've all been sent. A lot of people want to, say, here I am. You know, I say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here's the thing. He already has sent you. The place that you live, the place you work, or the place that you learn, the Lord sent you in there. Most people just think, they just bought a house or they just signed a lease on an apartment and just found a place to live. No, the Lord sent you there. The Lord embedded you into that neighborhood. The Lord embedded you into that community. He sent you there as salt and light. And your giftings are at least one, 99% of the people I've ever met and spent any time with talking to about their giftings, I figured out pretty quick their first two giftings. Kind of a base gifting that is most profound, and then kind of a phase gifting that they kind of move in and out of. So these gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher, you're gifted with probably two of them. Every one of us. Every one of us are gifted with these giftings. And it's part of the equipping that the Lord has given us to move into the places that we live, work, play, and hang out. And this is how he gets his will accomplished in the earth. It's a beautiful thing. It's an awesome thing. It's a powerful thing. And it's an even greater responsibility for every one of us. This is why Paul tells Timothy, stir up the gifts that were given to you by prophecy and laying on of hands. Many of you can look back and think about a time. It may have been in a little Bible study. It may have been in a home group. It may have been in a ministry setting, a revival. It could have been in some type of situation. But many of you can remember a time when someone spoke a word of the Lord to you. They may have even laid hands on you. And they prophesied over you and spoke about the giftings and the callings that you have in your life. And at some point, you laid those down. At some point, you bought into the lie and the subtleties of the enemy that said, oh, you're just a this or you're just a that. Hey, you're not a minister. You're not called. You're not on a platform. You're not preaching every Sunday. Listen, it is impossible. It is impossible to disciple people from the pulpit alone. You can't disciple people from the pulpit. Every pastor that's honest about it, and most of them are very willingly honest, will say, yeah, there's no way I can disciple people from the pulpit. It takes every one of us being disciple makers. And that's what a disciple is. You can't be a disciple without being a disciple maker, because there's this repetitive system that you're called to. You know, Paul tells Timothy, commit the things that I've taught you to faithful men or people who will be able to teach others also. He's pushing down four generations. The things I've taught you, commit to others who will commit to others. Being a disciple means being a disciple maker. So it's this call. And so I want to challenge you to discover your gifts or to pick back up the gifts and the callings that you have. There's a lot of tools out there that different type of tests. They're almost like personality tests that can help you figure out your gifting if you don't know what your gifting is. And here's the thing. It doesn't mean that as we discover our giftings that now we dominate others with those giftings. No, we are a collective body. So your physical body, there's not one part of your body that dominates the rest of your body. Now, a lot of people say, well, the head does. Well, here's the deal. Jesus is the head. There's only one head. Jesus is the head. So Jesus is the one that calls the shots for the rest of the body and dictates to the rest of the body where it's going to go, when it's going to get up, when it's going to sit down, when it's going to reach out, when it's going to pull back, when it's going to step forward, when it's going to run. Okay, so that all comes from the head. But every member of the body, and Paul goes into great detail about this at one point where he talks about, hey, listen, the foot doesn't get in competition with the arm, right? And the eye doesn't say it's greater than the ear. In fact, he says the smaller members or the smaller organs are the ones that sometimes we give greater care to. Sometimes it's the unseen organs that can, you know, cause us to live or cause us to die. You know, we live in this age that puts all this preface and all this worth on beauty and the outside. You know, watch these reunions or these pictures of old movie stars today that are trying to, you know, patch up or blow up or, you know, pull back to try to save their beauty. And the thing is that the flesh is decaying. But on the inside, that's where the life comes from. And so as the body of Christ, I want to encourage you to think about the place that you live, the places that you hang out, the places that you move into in your day-to-day life, and how your giftings and how the anointings of the Lord upon you and how your wisdom and your experience in the past can come to play in the lives of people and even in the lives of organizations that you're involved in and in connection with the other people in the body of Christ as you collectively work together, maybe on projects or initiatives or outreaches or just these incredible ideas that no one would have ever thought about to say, wow, we can actually do this in the name of the Lord and we can change our community. Well, who would have thought of it? Look, the creator of the universe, the creator of the trees, of the beautiful ocean that we enjoy, all these things, that creator that came up with those ideas from scratch lives in us. I mean, that creativity is on the inside of us. We have the mind of Christ. And so as we tap into the ideas of the Lord and we match those up with what He's called us to do and called us to be, beautiful things can take place. We can see the kingdom of heaven come upon this earth. And I just want to bless you and just pray that you'll find and that you'll discover the deeper depths of your gifts and your callings. And I just speak blessings upon you as you find your way, or as you just go deeper into the calling that you already know that you're sure of. Have fun with it. Walk with Jesus in it. Be blessed. Good to be with you.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Wasn't that such a great word from Pastor Lance? I know that I was challenged and encouraged today. I pray that you have an amazing week and that you would go out and you'd be the church.